I'm not sure if you've heard, but it seems like everybody is talking about the great replacement these days.
A few years ago, I noticed a bunch of folks who identify as white started bringing up something called the Great Replacement.
So what's happening in the United States is a wholesale change of who lives here. Total demographic change. Now, some have called this replacement.
That's Tucker Carlson's summary of the Great Replacement Theory, a trendy conspiracy theory that was echoed in ongoing comments from Republican members of Congress, such as Matt Gaetz and Elise Stefanik of New York.
And in a pursuit of a world without borders, we opened our doors to an unprecedented wave of mass migration that threatens the cohesion of our societies, the continuity of our culture, and the future of our people. We made these mistakes together. And now, together, we owe it to our people to face those facts and to move forward, to rebuild.
That's right. You'd have to have been living under a rock not to have heard of the Great Replacement Theory in recent years, especially if you were living in the American political context, the highly charged and contested American political context of recent years. So what is that theory? Well, in a nutshell, it is the theory that the white population of America, in the American political context, is being overwhelmed by a wave of mass migration of swarthily complected third world populations. And as we all know, this theory goes back to, let me check my notes, Benjamin Franklin. That's right. As I'm sure everyone who covers this subject notes, it was Benjamin Franklin who might be the earliest proponent of this theory, at least in the American political context. Observations concerning the increase of mankind, 1751, in which he wrote, point 24, which leads me to add one remark, that the number of purely white people in the world is proportionably very small. All Africa is black or tawny. Asia, chiefly tawny. America, exclusive of the newcomers, wholly so. And in Europe, the Spaniards, Italians, French, Russians, and Swedes are generally of what we call a swarthy complexion, as are the Germans also, the Saxons only excepted, who with the English make the principal body of white people on the face of the earth. I could wish their numbers were increased. And while we are, as I may call it, scouring our planet by clearing America of woods and so making this side of our globe reflect a brighter light to the eyes of inhabitants in Mars or Venus, why should we, in the sight of superior beings, darken its people? Why increase the sons of Africa by planting them in America, where we have so fair an opportunity, by excluding all blacks and tawnies, of increasing the lovely white and red? But perhaps I am partial to the complexion of my country, for such kind of partiality is natural to mankind. You know, for some reason, that quote from Benjamin Franklin doesn't get thrown around very often in this argument and debate. But anyway, there it is. And of course, the link will be in the show notes if you are inclined to give a look at corbettreport.com/great replacement. But it is not just a purely American idea, and it is not an American debate that is being had right now. As hopefully people in the audience are aware, the modern iteration of this idea of the Great Replacement does not come from an English speaker at all. It comes from a French speaker, namely Renaud Camus, who in 2012 penned the book Le Grand Remplacement, which is the book which put the Great Replacement into the political discourse of at least certain people on various sides of political arguments in France and the United States and the UK and Germany and Austria and, of course, all of the white, traditionally white-complected nations of various sorts in the West. But not just the West. In fact, this is not exclusively an idea or a theory that is being propounded in terms of the subsuming of the white populations of various countries. It is, it's a number of different countries in which you will find such political theories are quite au courant. For example, in Malaysia, where you had a former prime minister talking about how Jews and Christians were trying to colonize Malaysia by working with the former Malaysian prime minister's political opponents, the Pakatan Harapan Coalition. Or, for example, in India, the truth behind Indian extremists' anti-Muslim Great Replacement Theory, which notes that there are members of the Hindu community in India with a stark warning for India's 1 billion Hindus, produce more children or prepare to live in an Islamic state. The way their Muslims' population is increasing, there will be a Muslim prime minister in 2029, shouted one concerned Hindu. Once that happens, 50% of Hindus will have to undergo religious conversion and 40% will be killed. Well, that's a bold prediction, 2029, for such a demographic wave of a billion, overcoming the billion Hindus. I'm not holding my breath on that one. But anyway, it goes to show that this is, again, not an idea that is only being talked about in white countries. It is country after country around the globe. And the one that I have, I think, the best seat to actually observe is, of course, Japan, where, although it doesn't have the same terminology, obviously, there is absolutely growing concern about foreign populations that is being used as a political cudgel by the ruling party in Japan right now. But anyway, I can attest, at least from my experience here in Japan, there is concern over foreign migration in every country, seemingly simultaneously. And that is something that we should be discussing. We should be taking a look at where this concern is coming from. And there are a number of different ways that we can approach this. For example, it can, and as I have attempted to point out before on the Corbett Report podcast, this topic and people's legitimate concern about mass migration and how that changes the demographic and economic situation of a country can and is being weaponized by globalist factions for rallying mass support for various sorts of police state measures.
Number 8, we will finally complete the biometric entry exit visa tracking system, which we need desperately. For years, Congress has required biometric entry exit visa tracking systems, but it has never been completed. The politicians are all talk, no action, never happens, never happens. Hillary Clinton, all talk.
There is a legitimate reason to have a debate about things like migration. It went too far. It's been disruptive and destabilizing, and it needs to be fixed in a humane way with secure borders that don't torture and kill people, and how we're going to have a strong family structure, because it is at the base.
Yeah, I'm sick of politicians being all talk, no action. What I want is action, by which I mean biometric entry and exit passports and visas and stamps and digital identification and other ways of tracking and controlling the movements of every citizen. Travel ban. Anyway, I think you know how that story goes. And if not, you might want to refresh yourself with, for example, episode 453 of the Corbett Report. Don't worry, the border problem is about to be solved. But yes, obviously, there are many ramifications to these types of problems of the free flow of people around the world. How can we crack down on it is certainly one of the solutions that will be proffered when people are whipped up into a frenzy about this particular problem. But let's look at a different aspect of this agenda, this unfolding plan, how it is unfolding and why, and in what particular way is it following a plan of some sort? Well, I have some questions from the audience. So today on Questions for Corbett, let's take a look at in the mailbag and answer some of these questions. For example, I have this question in from Ulf, who writes, I cannot find anything on a, to me, very interesting subject that seems to be a plan rolled out in Europe and maybe the whole of the West. Richard von Kudinov-Kalergi and his role in the present migration, how it is connected to WEF, Bilderberg, and the circles of leaders further behind. I think I understand what you're saying, Ulf. An interesting question, but let's contrast that with a question in from Deanna, who writes, here's a question I have about the current proliferation of truther references to the Kalergi plan, as ostensibly outlined in the book Practical Idealism. In it, I'm unable to find any specifics about the so-called plan that so many are talking about, rather just a lot of fluffy pseudo-philosophizing that sometimes appears to contradict itself. There's actually more of the plan in Kalergi's book Pan-Europa, which clearly outlines the European Union model as pertains to the destruction of nationhood. Could it be that some specifics have been removed from the 2019 edition of Practical Idealism, similar to the removal of the protocols from the new edition of Milton William Cooper's book, Behold a Pale Horse? All right, thank you for the questions. And so, yes, this brings up the specter of Sir Richard von Kudinov-Kalergi, who people may or may not be familiar with, but I'm sure many people in the audience by this point have heard of the Kalergi Plan, although it does seem to be one of those things that everyone has heard of and vaguely knows the outlines of, but how many people have actually read what it is actually where it supposedly comes from? And that is, as Deanna points out, this book called Practical Idealism, in which Kalergi, this interesting figure who we'll talk a bit more about in a moment biographically, but this interesting figure writes some interesting things. So, for example, in this unhinged section on inbreeding and crossbreeding that should be read in its full context to be able to appreciate, we have this. The man of the future will be a mixed breed. Today's races and castes will fall victim to the increased overcoming of space-time and prejudice. The Eurasian Negroid race of the future, similar in its features to the ancient Egyptians, will replace the diversity of nation with a diversity of personalities. According to heredity law, variety of the descendants grows out of the variety of the ancestors, and uniformity of descendants out of uniformity of the ancestors. In single-race families, one child resembles the other because all represent one common family type. In mixed-race families, the children look different from each other. Each forms a new variation of the diverse parental and ancestral elements. Yada, yada, etc., etc. Okay, bizarre passage. And this is the one that most people will cite when they're talking about the Kalergi Plan, which is clearly all manifesting in 2026 with these waves of migrations and the overthrowing of the white race by all of these other people from around the world. It's clearly this Eurasian Negroid race of the future that Kalergi was writing about 100 years ago is all coming to fruition exactly as he planned. Well, as you can see from that passage, and I do invite you to go and read this in its fuller context so you understand, it's not much of a plan per se. In fact, there's no particular step-by-step, point-by-point, what we're going to do. He's just talking about what he believes is going to happen. But you will note that, for example, when he's talking about the obsession with inbreeding and crossbreeding and how different races will result in this or that characteristics and personality, it does smack of a certain viewpoint, a certain way of looking at the world. And if you have guessed, it certainly sounds like eugenics. Well, I think you're onto something. You can read, for example, later on in the book where he's talking about his outlook. The aristocrat of the future will be neither feudal nor Jewish, neither bourgeois nor proletarian. He will be synthetic. The races and classes of today will disappear. The personalities will remain. Only through mixing with the best blood, the viable traits of former feudal nobility will rise to new heights. Only through breeding with the top non-Jewish Europeans will the Jewish element of the future nobility reach its full potential. To the chosen people of the future, a physically well-bred rural nobility may gift perfect bodies and gestures, and a highly educated urban nobility will add mental prowess, soulful eyes and hands, etc., etc. It goes on from there. Yes, ding, 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 eugenics. You guessed it, guys. Of course, this is where it's going, because the best will breed with the best and eliminate all these distinctions between the different races and what have you. And what we will have ultimately are these supermen and superwomen who, by the way, that doesn't include you and your progeny, in case you were wondering. No, of course, it's all of the best of these different races and breeds are going to crossbreed. And as you would expect, it starts to get into more and more blatantly, obviously globalist and sorts of rhetoric that we would expect from these types. The apology of technology, of course, being a forerunner for the technocratic idea that was going to arise later in that decade. And he starts talking about the lost paradise of the curse of culture and overpopulation and migration to the north. Two things drove man out of his paradise. Overpopulation, of course, and the migration into cold climates. Through overpopulation, man lost the freedom of space. Everywhere he bumps into his fellow men and their interests, and so becomes a slave to society. Yes, again, the Neo-Malthusian obsession with overpopulation, society, and climate. Yes, because of course it all goes back to the weather gods. This obviously predates the anthropogenic global warming hysteria, but prefigures it in some ways, gets into ethics and technology, etc., and starts talking about the types of globalist ideas that you would expect, Europe's technological world mission. So, in fact, there's a lot more very interesting parts of what is clearly a proto-globalist agenda that's here in this work of Kalergi. But for some reason, the only thing that gets dwelt on is that one bizarre paragraph about Eurasian Negroids, as if that was a plan. No, as I think as Deanna rightfully points out in her comment, perhaps the more interesting part of Kalergi's vision was not this plan that doesn't quite seem to exist as a plan. It was works like, for example, Pan Europa, where he was talking about combining the Christian cross with the Apollo sun to create this European movement. And he did make an express attempt to create a pan-European movement, which is why he is sometimes referred to as the father of the European project and Europe, the European Union. And so who is this guy? Where did he come from? What is he? Well, we can get a better idea of that from this write-up on something called the European Society Kudinov-Kalergi, which notes that Richard Kudinov-Kalergi has been recognized as a leading public figure for the promotion of a united Europe, born in Tokyo on November 17, 1894, son of an Austrian-Hungarian diplomat and a Japanese mother. He devoted his entire life to the movement for liberty and the union of our continent. He belonged to a generation of intellectuals who had experienced the times that signaled the end of the old Europe and the nostalgia of the fin de siècle, and which simultaneously marked the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. In contrast to the totalitarian approach found in fascism, National Socialism, and communism, Kudinov-Kalergi created the idea of a pan-Europa. And it goes on to talk about this pan-European vision and the wonderful things that it has provided. And it results in such things as the European Society, Kudinov-Kalergi, which it goes on to say the Kudinov-Kalergi Foundation was established on 15 September 1978 by the Pan-Europa Union, 6 years after the death of this great European thinker. And on 20 February 2008, it was transformed into the European Society, Kudinov-Kalergi. So his idea lives on, and the globalist project is going to continue. Don't worry about that. So there is a lot of meat on these bones, and perhaps something more consequential than I think what is just generally sort of glazed over by that term Kalergi plan. So yes, mass migration might have part to do with this, but I think there is a much, much bigger agenda that is being worked on here, which is the dissolution of free humanity through the bonding of that humanity in larger and larger governmental ties, using the basis of nationalism to then glue those national identities together into a regional identity and then into a global identity. And of course, it will be the best breeding with the best to rule over the worst, as the eugenicists always believe is the natural order of things. And there's a lot to say along those lines, and we could continue exploring along those lines. But this is the Corbett Report, and as you know, we like to dig deeper in our Corbett Report explorations, don't we, fellow Corbetteers? So let's dig deeper, because we are about to hit a sharp left turn in today's exploration. You might remember that there was a previous edition of the Questions Corbett where I was talking about what is the trans agenda, in which I observed that the trans agenda was not merely the transgender identity agenda that had been thrust down the throats of the general public for the past decade, but the transhuman agenda, which is the much larger game plan and the much further vision for humanity that was attendant upon that incremental change, the transgender idea being seeded as the first step towards the transhuman idea. Well, I would posit that in the same way, the Great Replacement is not about the replacement of whites in America or the replacement of Hindus in India or the replacement of Malaysians or what have you. It is about a much, much larger replacement that is about to take place.
Elon Musk has finally announced Tesla Bot Gen 3 and 6 new updates that he claims will make Optimus the definitive leader among humanoid robots. leaving giants like Boston Dynamics and Unitree in the dust. The official premiere is expected in early 2026, and that is, without exaggeration, one of the biggest tech events of the coming year. Optimus is said to be mind-controlled, work in factories, cook, clean, and perform hundreds of other household chores. Engineers have even taught it to drive a car. Elon Musk assures us, quote, "It will not look like a robot. It will look more like a person in a robot costume."
Of course, what they're not telling you is that it will look like a person in a robot costume, because essentially, that's what it is. That's right. It's actually funny to watch, but in 2024, back during some of the early Optimus demonstration events, after it was called out for some of these robots seeming to interact as if they were being operated by humans, there was an engineer that ultimately came out and confirmed, yeah, I mean, the AI was running the bots when they were walking through the crowd, but the rest of the time, it was actually a teleoperator that was teleoperating the robot. So no, that wasn't real. It was basically a guy in a robot suit, essentially. And of course, who can forget this from December of 2025, this hilarious video of the human operator of this Tesla literally removing his headset and the robot falling over as a result. I mean, that's, yeah, it's hilarious, I guess. But yeah, long story short, Optimus is not quite ready for prime time. Wow, Elon Musk lying about some of his achievements. I couldn't imagine. But if you think that's the end of the story, and okay, guys, done and dusted, nothing to worry about. These humanoid robots certainly aren't taking over anytime soon. Well, there's certainly a concerted full court press in operation right now by the propagandists to, at the very least, convince you that the solution to the migrant crisis that so many different countries are facing right now is, well, we'll replace migrants with robots. We don't need humans. We don't need flesh and blood humans coming into our country to, whatever, do the menial jobs that we don't want to do. No, what we need is robots to do those jobs for us, right? That's the solution you guys are all looking for. And in case you think I'm joking, it's over and over and over. You will see this implanted in all of these, of course, globalist mouthpiece organizations like the World Economic Forum in 2015. Will migrants and robots be competing for the same job? And then National Bureau of Economic Research in 2019, from immigrants to robots, the changing locus of substitutes for workers. Or even just from earlier this year, one of those political parties that in Japan that is fretting about the immigration to Japan and too many foreign workers. Well, how can we do it? Oh, we'll use AI to replace foreign workers in Japan, they say. Yay! Again, you may or may not have noticed this propaganda, but it definitely exists. It's a concerted wave, and it is coming to, at the very least, convince you that these humanoid robots and AI, etc., are going to come and replace humans. We don't need humans anymore, guys, because we've got the robotic labor to take care of it. So it's an interesting circle of information and feedback and problem and reaction and solution that's going on here, where you have the tech bro oligarchs who literally own and design the algorithms that feed you your news feeds and get you worked up about whatever issue they want you to get worked up about, like the foreign migrant hordes. And then they sweep in with the very solution that they themselves are literally profiting from, the humanoid robots that they are going to sell you as the solution to the migrant wave crisis, which is a very long-term game plan, to be sure. It's a kind of an insane game plan, but it is unfolding demonstrably so. Once again, CorbettReport.com/great replacement. Please find all of the links to all of the articles and everything that I'm citing today. But you might step back and take a look at this grand unfolding plan. Okay, so the great replacement isn't about the great replacement of this or that particular race in this or that particular country. It is about the great replacement of humans with automated labor of various sorts that is coming into view and is being promoted by people who have, at the very least, an economic incentive to profit from such a plan. But surely, you might say to yourself, such a plan is doomed to failure, because at the very least, it's not like these robots are going to start outnumbering humans. It's not like the human race is going anywhere anytime soon. in order to effect such a long-term great replacement of humanity with the robots, you would at least have to start by containing this growing human population by, I don't know, convincing people to go against their most basic human drives and stopping them from procreating, stopping them from even wanting to have sex or marry or have children.
In the early 2010s, about 9% of American men in their 20s and early 30s said they had no sex in the past year. By 2022, that number had nearly tripled, 24%, 1 in 4. Women climbed too, from 8% to 13%, still rising. The share of Americans having sex at least once a week collapsed, 55% in 1990, 37% in 2024, an 18-point drop. But this goes far deeper than the bedroom. Americans used to spend over 6 hours a week with friends. Now the average person gets 35 minutes a day of face-to-face socializing. Teenagers who used to hang out for over 2 hours a day after school are down to 40 minutes. The rest of that time, swallowed by screens. 9 hours of screen time every single day.
The 65 and older crowd will be 37% of our population come 2040. We need you guys to come to the rescue.
Yeah, I don't have too much faith in us, unfortunately. I mean, statistically speaking, the majority of young people who are childless right now, 56% say that they just simply don't want children. It's not even that there is, it's a factor of circumstance. And I hear frequently from my friends, they're worried about bringing kids into a dying planet and a climate catastrophe or the state of the world right now.
Why are you on birth strike, Blythe?
Because I'm terrified. And that's putting it mildly. So our planet is in a kind of collapse. The natural world is collapsing around us, and that's actually happening right now. And I'm so disappointed by the response by our authorities to this crisis, and so freaked out by it. Everything that I've read, that I've basically last year I came to the decision that I couldn't bring a child into that.
Oh, right. That's already happening. Okay, but if they want to go ahead with this great replacement of humanity, they're going to have to convince the average Joe or Jane to actually embrace their robotic replacements. I mean, yes, robots and as glorified calculators. Sure, yeah, okay. And robots doing basic menial tasks that don't require much coordination or intelligence, like folding laundry. Yeah, maybe over time, but do you think, I mean, do you think people are going to embrace the flood of AI and robots replacing real artists, real human beings, real social interactions? Do you think people are ever going to invest their emotional identity in something created by a robot?
Call me anymore. You just say you're busy. I see you laughing with the world, but you don't make time for me. You walk past everything I gave like it was nothing at all. I gave you my whole life. You can't give me one call. I'm still your father. Why do I feel a rage?
Oh, that's right. Of course people are going to embrace this. I mean, look at the reactions to Michael Bennett on America's Got Talent or whatever that is. Yeah, wonderful, amazing. So many people saying how moving and beautiful and amazing this is. If this guy were real, he'd be selling out stadiums and I'd be there alongside taking part because I love it. Or at the very least, that's what the comments section of these videos says. But of course, that's probably populated with bots too. So it's the perfect snake eating its own tail of bots commenting on bots creating art for bots. Yay. And meanwhile, humanity slowly disappearing into the ether. Well, that is the situation that we find ourselves increasingly in and will find becoming more and more a part of the conversation as we move forward in this conversation. The great replacement of humanity itself is going to be a propaganda item that they're going to work on trying to find the right way of inserting into your brain. And they're already working on it. And this is something that I pointed out recently. Hopefully you saw my editorial from this past February on Demographics Our Destiny, talking about the shrinking human population, the depopulationists having their way, and the fact that humanity is on the brink of total population collapse, and some of the ramifications of that. And in the section on Demographics Our Civilization, I did bring up this point, pointing to the crisis that is being created of the population collapse that's being noted by, for example, tech bro oligarchs like Elon Musk. But not to worry, though, everyone's favorite CIA-run venture capital firm, InQtel, has the solution. Back in 2021, InQtel had a post about demography and destiny on their blog in which they argued, demography provides a lot of insight into the drivers and directions of technological innovation that are useful for entrepreneurs and VCs alike. Worries about robots stealing our jobs appear to be misplaced in the long run, because as populations age and even shrink, there will be more tasks than human workers. Robots, artificial intelligence, and other technologies are key to maintaining our health, welfare, and prosperity in the face of inevitable demographic headwinds over the coming decades. And so we arrive at the technocrats' distinctly unsurprising predetermined solution to the demographic crisis: technocracy. How to take care of the sick and elderly? Robot caregivers, of course. How to replace the retiring workforce? AI, of course. How to preserve the intricate supply chain dependent, labor intensive, consumption based modern industrial economy as the population deadline sets in? Other technologies, of course. Whatever. We'll figure the details out later. The point is, you are being automated out of existence. And that, I think, is the longer term agenda. Ultimately, we reach the technological tipping point at which the tech bro oligarchs at least convince themselves whether or not it is a true thing or something they have merely convinced themselves of. They will convince themselves that you and your progeny are not needed anymore. They have bred with the best of the best among themselves in their crossbreeding eugenics project and arrived at their wonderful golden hierarchy and now have the technological labor to replace the human population. And that is exactly what we see be happening with the demographic crunch and exactly what we see being pushed now. Don't worry, guys, we're going to replace you all with robots. It's been fun. Anyway, that to me is the true nature of this great replacement agenda. Like the trans agenda is the transhuman agenda, the great replacement agenda is the great human replacement agenda. And unless and until we learn to come together as human beings and embrace each other as fellow humans, flesh and blood organic beings, sovereign beings on this planet, unless and until we learn how to do that, it is bye-bye humanity. What a fun time we all had, huh? Anyway, lots to explore today. And as I say, every single thing that I have talked about, cited, or played on this podcast will be in the show notes at CorbettReport.com/Great Replacement. And I hope you'll join me there and the Corbett Reporteers, the Corbett Report members who sign in and join in on the comments section of today's questions for Corbett. I think there's a lot to explore, but we're going to leave this exploration here for today. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, thanking you for investing your mind time in today's questions for Corbett. I'm looking forward to talking to you again in the near future. The Corbett Report is 100% listener supported. Join the Corbett Report community to become a member and log into CorbettReport.com to read the subscriber newsletter featuring my weekly editorial, recommended reading and viewing, discounts on Corbett Report merchandise, and once a month, a subscriber-exclusive video. Sign up today at CorbettReport.com/members and help support this independent media.